The story of David. David was someone who gave us an example that he did the little things well. We hear in the story about when he's talking to Saul and how he cared about the sheep so much. He was willing to fight a lion and willing to fight a bear. Me, if it was a lion or a bear there, I would have gave him the sheep and I would have ran away probably. But David cared about doing the little things. But even in the story, David is a young man as a shepherd. And what does his father do? His father tells him to go out and see his brothers. More than likely, he probably wanted to be one of the guys that got to go out and fight. But instead, he has to stay home and take care of the sheep. And his father says, I want you to take some food to your brothers. And David, instead of doing it gripingly, what does he do in verse number 20? David rose up early in the morning. You know, he not only did he go to do what his father said, he actually got up early to do it. Showing he was demonstrating that spirit, that he wanted to do it well. He didn't want to do it halfway. He didn't want to be late. He didn't want to be lazy. And he left the sheep with a keeper. He took care of those sheep, and his brother even said those few sheep, and the idea that there was not very much. And he took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench as the host was going forth to fight and shouted for the battle. So here's the principle here. David took care of that little thing. You know what happens later on? God allows him to do great things for him. Now, should we take care of the little things so that way God will allow us to do great things? No. We take care of the things that God gives us, and he'll give us what we can handle. I think about in 1 Samuel 17, verse 36, when he's talking to Saul, and he says, thy servant both slew the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he have defied the armies of the living God. The first one that comes to my mind when it's taking care of the little things, I think about David. I think about how he did those things. And you think about those times when he was out in the taking care of his flock. There might have been many times when he wrote Psalms. But we know there is definitely times when he drew closer to the Lord. It's when he realized the Lord was his shepherd. And he compared these things. And the shepherd was the best spot he could have been. Because that's where God wanted him to be. He took care of the little things. Next one I want you to see is one of my favorite examples in the Bible is found in Joseph. And the story of Joseph, we're reminded of some important truths. Joseph, when he was out and he was fighting against the devil and he had been called, and remember, he was thrown into the pit. And as he got thrown into the pit, he was sent to Egypt. And in Egypt, what happens? He gets sold into slavery to Potiphar. And at Potiphar's house, what happens? His wife lies about him. And you know what? It just seems like bad thing after bad thing after bad thing is happening to him. But how does Joseph respond? Whatever is put before him, he is going to do to his best ability, and he's going to do it in a way that's going to bring glory and honor to God. Think about some of these verses. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him, and he made him overseer over his house and all that he had put into his hand. So what do you mean? That means that Joseph, when he became the slave of Potiphar, he stood out and he did the things that Potiphar did, which would have been considered little things in our mind. I'm a slave. I've been given this mundane work. I'm going to do what I have to do just to get by. No. Joseph says, I'm going to do these things well. And then God takes and blesses him. And then he's thrown into prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. You think about in the prison cell. Now, once again, he's not just a slave. He's a slave that's in prison now. And what is he doing? He's taking and doing the little things well. He is being a model prisoner. And there's no chance of parole here. I mean, sometimes people are model prisoners so they can get out for parole. Why is he doing this? He's doing the little things well. He's doing what a prisoner should do, and we would consider that a little thing, I'm sure. He's doing it so well that God allows him to be lifted up. And then even think about it, while he's serving, once again, if I'm in a prison cell, I don't think he'd be really excited to be serving the other prisoner's food. But while he's serving the prisoner's food, he looks at the baker and he looks at the butler. And I love this in chapter 40, verse number 7. And he asked the Pharaoh's officer, they that were with him in the ward of his Lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? You know, once again, he is a slave. He is stuck in prison. You know, oh great, he's exalted of. That means maybe he has the best prison cell. No, he's stuck serving the food to the other inmates. And when he walks into the inmates, he cares enough to look at them and say, why are you so sad? Once again, if we were in that spot, we'd be like, I wonder what their problem is. and just slap it down and just keep on walking. No, he's trying to do the little things well. It's right where God has put him at. And he's like, I'm going to do this. And if God has placed me here, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And I'm going to let God take care of the big things. I'm not going to dream that someday God's going to let me do some great big thing. I'm going to take care of the things that God's given me here and today. And then I'm going to let God take care of the best things and the big things. You think about being faithful with the little things. There's some verses in the Bible that we're reminded of. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in the much. I mean, what a wonderful principle there. And we live by that principle, don't we? I mean, if your child's not going to take care of their bike, are you going to let them use their car, your car? No, you're going to tell them, learn how to take care of your bike, learn how to take care of your room. Then someday we might give you a car because we know that you've been faithful in the things that most people wouldn't think is very big. And what a wonderful biblical principle. Look what it says in Matthew 25:23. His Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. What a great principle. What a thought here. Maybe if I did the things that I was supposed to do and I did them really well, then God's going to be able to use us to do something even greater for him. People who master the small things will have the opportunity to do bigger things. People who master the small things will have the opportunities to do bigger things. The little that we have in our hands can be transferred into a huge blessing when we ask the Lord to use it. I know David was trying to win favor of God so he could fight Goliath when he got up early that morning. He didn't even know about it. I don't think that Joseph was looking to be the number one guy in Potiphar's house or in the prisons, or because he knew that the baker was going to get out and all this. I don't think he knew any of that. He just wanted to do the little things well. And I want to understand that sometimes when we get a church our size and we think our church isn't very big, it doesn't matter how well maybe I sing because I only got a little part, or how well I teach a class, or how well I fellowship, or how well I give, or how well I help. My role doesn't matter. I only got something small. I only got something little. That's not a biblical principle. Don Sisk is saying, hey, look, all I can do is take care of little things. Things are out of my hands as a missionary many times, and they had to be given over to God. All I could do was be faithful with those few people. Let's look at a few more examples here. And I enjoy some of these examples. The first one that comes to our mind when it talks about being faithful in the little things is the little boy who had the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. I mean, that's an obvious one, right? It didn't seem like much, but he was willing to give the little he had. Even, I think it was either Philip and Andrew that said, there's a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? What is the point here? I mean, why does it matter if I give? You know, my measly $5, $10, $50, $100, it's not going to make a cent, make any difference. It's not going to help pay a light bill. It's not going to help do. You know what? God says, hey, you take care of the little things, and I'll take care of the big things. And it comes to every area of our lives. He says that in her giving. You think about the widow with the 2 mites. You know, this woman gave not out of her abundance. She gave out of her want. And we still talk about her. We're amazed by her. Look what the Bible says. And he called unto him his disciples and saith unto them, verily I say unto you that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which had cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. And I'm not saying you should go empty your bank accounts and come and throw it into the church offering plate. I'm not. I'm saying you should be faithful with your giving, whether it's something that's little or something that's great. We should teach your children that. You get a dollar for your birthday, you should be willing to give what the God has asked us to in the tithe. Think about the Apostle Paul. And when I think about Apostle Paul, you know, he was blessed in many ways. He really was. But you think about it. He was rarely appreciated, grossly underpaid considering his abilities. He was one of the greatest trained minds in the biblical time in that day. And he spent a great deal of his life doing things that were very far underneath his educational attainment and abilities. Now, I'm not saying that, hey, look, because he was so smart, he was so much above it, he shouldn't have had to do those things. No, no, no. But he didn't complain about the things he had to do. He was a tent maker, and he even said, look, I made this with my own hands. I helped take care of myself. He says, I cared about the little things, and I did the little things well. When I was shipped on a shipwreck, and I went to the island, I think it was Malta, and the barbarians that were there, that was the people that God gave me at that point in time. And even though they might seem like they're insignificant or they're little, and it wasn't like the big churches that were able to start, it wasn't like I got to stand before the king, but what God put before me, I was going to be faithful with. I was going to go gather those sticks. God was going to bless the little things. Christian, if we'll get this idea in our mind, if we'll focus on taking care of the little things that are before us, then God will take care of the big things. Here's a couple historical examples. So that's all the Bible, and yeah, that's good, but does that work today? And there's some testimonies here. We forgot a couple. At least I forgot a couple of my notes. You think about, there's a couple more examples. You think about the widow of Zarephath. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do what thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first and bring unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. You think about that example. She didn't have much, but she listened to God. And what did God do? He supplied bountifully. You think about the story about Naaman, the little servant girl, the same type of thing. Somebody comes into my house and takes me away and drags me away from my parents, drags me away from my grandparents, drags me away from my temple and my priest and everything I know. And I'm serving this high up military's wife. I am her little maid doing whatever she asked me to do. And what does she do? She uses her opportunity and her witness, which is so insignificant, to make a difference in this man's life. And look what it says. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were that the prophet that with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover of his leprosy. What would have we said? Well, he got leprosy, he deserved it. He brought me away from my family. I don't even long to be here. No, no, no. She looked at it and she says, this is where I'm at, and this is where God has placed me, and I'm going to do whatever I can to shine forth light. I'm going to take care of the little things. I'm not going to be bitter. I'm going to serve with the best of my ability. When I have a chance to be helpful, I'm going to insert an opinion. Here's a couple of historical examples. The reality is, we will never know this side of heaven how God will use us to help lead people to Christ and help bless them in some type of small deed or service that you performed that was unnoticed and done in secret. We use the example of the testimony of Ron White. I believe he gave this testimony here, or I heard it before. He talked about how he was in West Virginia in a little town, and that this preacher came, and the preacher was there for only 18 months, and he preached his heart out and did everything he could to try to bring, I think it was a coal mining town, bring a good church to this coal mining town. For 18 months, he worked hard and he preached hard, and he had one convert. It was a child. Little did he know, and that man probably thought he was a failure after 18 months only having one convert. Little did he know that that man would later on become a missionary to Japan and remain faithful to God for many years, someone we've supported for a number of years, and help start churches in Japan and help start a Bible college and help make a difference in the world. That West Virginia pastor probably thought he had failed, but he couldn't see the wonderful things that God had in store for that one young man. And I heard Ron White say, you know what, maybe God brought him here just to help lead me to Christ so I could go on. Think about the story about Dr. W.A. Criswell. Dr. W.A. Criswell, at one point in time, he pastored the largest church in the world. One of his assistants had asked him to go visit an elderly preacher in the hospital. This ailing preacher was at death's door, and he considered himself unsuccessful according to the world standards. He considered himself a failure because he didn't do as much as he wanted to for God. Dr. Criswell found out that the preacher's name was, and he realized that this man was the man who actually had led him to the Lord many years earlier. And he went to go spend time with him, and he found out before he got there, as he went to go see him, that he had passed away. That man at the end of his life felt like he was a failure, but you know what? God used him to bring someone to Christ. We never know the difference we're going to make when we're faithful with the little things. The story of Robert Moffat is similar to what the story of Ron White. Robert Moffat, sometimes church members can be hard to pastors. And there was an older pastor who was just preaching, and for a year, one of the deacons in the story, or one of the church leaders, was giving the pastor a hard time, telling him it was probably time for him to quit because he only had one convert, a four-year-old boy, that year. That four-year-old boy ended up being Robert Moffat. And as the pastor was sitting there and discouraged, and I had guess been chewed out by the church member or the church leader for not doing his job or doing things well, the little four-year-old boy came up to the pastor and said to him, he says, "Do you think that the Lord would allow someone like me to be a pastor someday?" And that caused that older gentleman that was a preacher to realize that God was using him to bring someone to Christ that he never even thought about. We never know the lives that we touch when we're willing to take care of the little things. Same thing with the story of D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody had gone to Sunday school class, and his Sunday school teacher, Edward Kimball, had went out visiting him. Who visits their Sunday school kids? I think we all should. And he went out and he visited his Sunday school students. He led in the Lord one day as a teenage boy in a shoe shop where he was working at. And he didn't know that D.L. Moody was going to shake continents for God. People talk about he maybe in his ministry as an evangelist had won maybe over 1 million people to the Lord. Kimball was faithful with the little things. Church, I know sometimes it seems like what we do may be insignificant. Sometimes it might seem like, what's the purpose or what's the big deal? I want to encourage you today, be faithful with the little things. And here's a couple ways to be faithful with the little things, and we'll be finished. Doing the little things right, when we do something, when something must be done, we should do it promptly. We need to do it promptly. So what do you mean? We don't need to put it off. If God's speaking to our heart about doing something, we need to do it. I don't know how many times I've, Lord, spoken to my heart about going and talking to someone, and I kind of say, no, I don't want to talk to them right now. They wouldn't want to hear from me anyway. It's too difficult, too hard. And then later on, I see it hurt the relationship. We should not put things off. The Bible says, "Boast not thyself tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." James 4, verses 13 and 14 says, "Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain, whereas ye know not what should be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." If we're going to do things right, we're going to do the little things right, we need to do promptly. We don't need to keep on pushing off. I'm going to start reading my Bible more later. I'm going to start praying more later. I'm going to start visiting more later. And we need to do it promptly. Next thing, not only do we need to do it promptly, we need to do it pleasantly. Pleasantly. We need to have the Christ in us and showing through us. The Bible says, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves." The Bible says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." There's a way we should do things. And the little things that God's given us, we should do it pleasantly. Unfortunately, I've seen Christians, and we all probably have, who has done things unpleasantly before. We're inside of a church house, should somebody yell at one another? It just shouldn't happen. As, you know, where should it be? And once again, sometimes I know when you're trying to correct a young person, you might have to raise your voice a little bit, but you should be kind, you should be patient, you should be apt to teach. Servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. What a wonderful verse there for us to take to our heart. And that we should be kind. And, you know, there is a pleasant way of serving God. And I'm thankful we have a church full of people that do it pleasantly. When we come to Kids Crusade, some of those kids can be a little bit of a struggle. We need to deal with them pleasantly. Why? Because we want them to see Christ in us. They want to see that we're different than they are. And I've seen sometimes people correct, or sometimes people go and not treat other people pleasantly, and it makes me cringe. sometimes when I watch other people do things and say, well, I wish they would have handled that differently. It's because we thought it was a little thing. We didn't think it was that important. Who cares if I treat that person that way or if I say this to that person? They're just little. They're insignificant. No, that's not what God gave us the little things to do. He gave it to us for them to do them promptly. He gave it to us to do them pleasantly. He also gave them to so that we can do them persistently. Let nothing persistently pray without ceasing. Persistency. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. The little things that aren't really little, like prayer and Bible reading, we must be persistent. Because we know that let us not be wearying well doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Taking care of the little things, it's important. Doing little things, we need to do them right. When something must be done, we need to do it passionately. We should care about what we're doing. And I know that we're not going to all get excited about vacuuming a floor or cleaning a toilet or, you know, other things. But we should do it as unto the Lord. What we see in Colossians chapter 3:3 says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. In Ephesians 6:6, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God. Look what it says, doing the will of God from the heart. That's a passionate. You know, I don't care what it is. It's saying that whatever we do, we should do it as unto the Lord. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. If there's something that we should be doing, even if it's a little thing, we should do it with the passion that we're doing it for the Lord. We're not doing it for a person or things. And I know that's tough sometimes to get and understand. We like to think, hey, we're doing it for this person because I'm doing it for this person. I can do it halfway. It doesn't really matter. We do it as unto the Lord. Doing the little things right when something needs to be done, we need to do it prayerfully. Prayerfully. There are some things that we shouldn't be doing. There are certain things that God maybe hasn't called us to do. So as we're doing these things, even if they're small things that they place before us, we need to do it persistently. We need to do it with a passion. We need to do it pleasantly. We need to do it promptly. But we should be praying about it while we're doing it. It's much easier to get things done when we have the right perspective. And that right perspective comes from a continual fellowship of God. You ever said, I wish I would know God's heart about this? We can know it. We can get wisdom from God. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. I think I have one more up there, even though I don't have it in my notes. It's patiently. I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that people have been patient with me. I remember as a child and as a boy, I was a little bit loud, a little bit obnoxious. I pick on Andrew because he's got this personality that I don't know where it came from. But if you ask my parents, he's a lot more mature about the way he does it. But I was one that, as a child, I used to love attention. I used to, I had some problems with my eye. It was really heavy, and so different things like that. So for a few years, there was a time in my life where I would act out on purpose just to try to get people to like me. And I'm not saying that what Andrew does, but I know Andrew's personality, that he loves life. He enjoys spending time with people. He enjoys being the center of attention. He would say, no, I don't. But he likes doing those things. You that know Andrew know that he enjoys that. But, you know, for me as a kid, boy, I was annoying. Andrew's not annoying. Andrew's great. He brings life to me and to my family that just would not be there without him. But as a child, you know, there's different times in my life I was hard to deal with. I don't know how many times I told my mom I was sorry for the way I talked to her as a child, because I shouldn't have done it. But you know what? She was patient with me. She loved me and she prayed for me. I don't know how many times that bus driver came around and picked me up over and over. I wasn't always ready. Sometimes we give the kids a hard time. We have to beep on the horn, have to go knock on the door to get them to come out. You know, someone was patient with me. And I don't know, but sometimes I think we lose sight of being patient with people. We think they should be perfect right now. And yes, I agree with you. There are some who have learned and should be farther along. I wish I was farther along in my Christian walk. I wish that there were some things I did better. But the Bible says here, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings of the eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And here's my thought is, if I'm doing the little things right and I'm doing the little things patiently, what am I doing? I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm not waiting on them to get fixed, because I've learned a long time ago, I can't fix anybody. I have a hard time fixing me. I'm not going to be physically able to fix somebody, but I can wait on the Lord and allow to do the little things right and continue to do the little things right and have faith that God can make all those things happen according to His will and according to His time, because that's when I can mount up with wings of the eagles. And that's when I am not going to grow weary, because when you work with somebody, you get annoyed with them because they should be farther along. They should know this by now. They shouldn't be struggling with the same thing. We get in our flesh and we become weary, don't we? I know. I do. We become faint because of the fact that we're not waiting. We're not being patient. We're not doing the little things right. Instead, we're expecting. We're serving the Lord. Because that's what we're supposed to do, is serve God. So here's the thought tonight. If I am careful to do the little things well, the big things will take care of themselves. And I'm not saying you need to be careful, you need to do the little things well because someday God's going to let you do something great. That's not why we do it. We do it because we want to serve the Lord, and we let God take care of the big things. He'll take care of all the things that need to be taken care of. But we should do it promptly. We should do it pleasantly. If you don't plan on being pleasant to the kids next week, just go ahead and stay home. You say, well, that's mean. That's not mean. We just don't want them to see something that's not really truly what we want the church to see. We want Christ to be seen. You're not going to be perfect. Not everybody's going to be great with kids. And some people know that they're not that great with kids. So because of that, they choose to do other things. I understand that. But we can always be pleasant. We can always be kind. We can always be patient. We can always be prayerful about it. And we can always be persistent. Christian tonight, how are you doing at the little things? I know that nobody has a huge Sunday school class in our church. But as a teacher, are you faithful with the little things? Are you doing your best for the Lord? I think about David and Joseph. They did the little things right. God used them amazing ways. Think about the little boy with his lunch. We never hear about him again. The widow of Zarephath, we don't hear from her. We don't hear the stories when it comes from the other ones, like the widow of the two mites. We don't know how God, they were just faithful with the little things. I'm thankful we're clued into those stories about that little servant girl with the Naaman. I would have been bitter probably. But she said, no, this is the spot God's given me. I'm going to do the best I can. Little things like loving our wives, submitting to our husbands, obeying our parents. Little things like cleaning our rooms for our kids and for us adults, I guess. Little things. So tomorrow when you look at your job, you look at your little slip of paper and you think, well, my job isn't very important. Do it persistently. Do it pleasantly. Do it promptly. And do it patiently. Believing as we take care of the little things, God will take care of the big things. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation.